Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Theater Podcast, intimate personal conversations with the industry's biggest names. I'm your host, Alan Seals, and our guests today are Alicia Rayner and David Allen Bache, a husband and wife team, actors, partners, both on and off the screen. They are a producing power couple, just an amazing two people that prove that if you're honest and open and are in the same business, you can still become better people and support each other while you're going through all of the crap together, because this business will chew you up and spit you out. It's nice to have somebody who knows what you're going through. Before we get into the episode, find me online on Instagram and Twitter at @theater_podcast. Leave a rating and a review wherever you're listening now. And everybody, please enjoy this episode with Alicia and David right after this break.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Here you go, one, two, three.
Today's two guests are a power couple of TV, film, and theater. Alicia Rayner may be best known for playing Natalie Figg Figueroa, a warden in the world of Orange is the New Black, and has also many additional credits, including Masters of Sex, How to Get Away with Murder, 30 Rock, and even the upcoming production of Mrs. Marvel. David Allen Bache is best known for his five seasons during the TV Land original series The X's, but also has his own string of phenomenal credits, including Royal Pains, Blindspot, Frasier, 30 Rock, and Lipstick Jungle. These two guests are partners in life and in business. They are co-producers, co-creators, especially when it comes to their daughter, and even co-stars, who can now be heard in the podcast original Around the Sun, episode 105. Alicia Rayner and soon to be David Allen Bache, because he is late, welcome to the Theater Podcast.
My dog is here in his stead. You know, I'm an eternal optimist. And in this moment, there is a lot of uncertainty and discomfort. I love to call it I like to call COVID or the pandemic the meditation retreat none of us signed up for. And it really helped us learn stuff about ourselves, but there's also been some spectacular creativity that's come out of it. And this podcast is a great example.
Well, Around the Sun. So there's David. How are you doing, David?
Hello. Sorry I'm a few minutes late, but you know, my wife is much smarter and more entertaining than I am.
Well, your dog was substituting for you.
Yeah.
So now that you're here, we're going to come back to the meditation. We're going to come back to Around the Sun. Yes. I want to quickly acknowledge that even though you two are mostly known now for TV and film, you both have a strong, strong theatrical tie-in, because you met during a summer stock production of Twelfth Night, right?
Oh, I love that you did your research. We met during Twelfth Night.
The script said fall in love, and you don't argue with Shakespeare, so.
Actually, I can show you, grab the Jason. Jason Chatfield, who some say is one of the new modern, he's a fantastic New Yorker cartoonist. David, for one of our anniversaries recently, had this made, and that's me as Olivia and David as Sebastian.
That is so, so cute. So then, how long ago was that? How long have you guys been working?
We're actors. Are you crazy? But I will tell you, I was 20.
Wow.
So, yeah, don't do the math, please.
It's more
than half my life. I'm over 40.
So So listen, when you are 20 and you have a showman, showmances are not uncommon, especially when you are 20. And for it to stick and for it to last.
I really still like him. And we still have sex. I think that's important to say.
Thank you, honey. That's good.
I really believe it's important to keep on having sex. I feel very strongly about that.
Well, I think a lot of people would probably agree with you on that. I also am enjoying you, by the way, Alicia, in The Beautiful Liar.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So that's another podcast. Yeah,
it's been such a delightful season of podcasts. I had so much fun doing that. I had so much fun doing Shayna Feinberg's podcast for Audible. I love voice work. You know, I am a cartoon voice, so I do that, and I do a bunch of commercial voiceover. I'm like the voice of Campbell's Soup, but it's
Wait, really?
Yeah, but it's so fun doing. I mean, it's radio plays. It's what our grandparents grew up on, and it's so cool using your voice to create everything.
The two of you together are such great. I mean, at least from what I know, you seem like such great collaborators, such great creators. And David, you missed it in the intro. I said that you are co-producers, co-creators when it comes to your daughter, of course, and co-stars, etc.
Your best production.
Oh, man.
Right. Your best production is your daughter. And obviously that leads to enjoying sex. So spoiler alert, listeners, sex can make babies. So the two of you together, you were in Egg together, right? Yeah. And I guess, so when it comes to your both careers, obviously you're both very passionate about what you're doing independently. You both have very successful careers independently. When does it make sense to come back together and do something like Around the Sun or do something like Egg?
Being together. But in all seriousness, it's a one job at a time, one collaboration at a time kind of thing. When I was working on Equity, which was the first film I produced, I got in the weeds. And I was both in it and producing, as was my partner on that. And I basically begged my husband to come be another producer on it. He was already in it. And I was like, we need you. We desperately need another onset producer. And he did a spectacular job. And
that was easy. That was a no-brainer for me. I mean, I kind of thought I had a break. I had just finished a sitcom for 5 years. And I was like, oh, I get to just coast for a little while. And then my wife was like, no, we're making this movie. We've got this 20 locations in 26 days, you got to, or whatever it was.
Oh my God, nice.
But that, you know, I was very glad that we were on that together for lots of different reasons, creative and otherwise.
Then with Egg, you know, Egg, we did back to the theater. We did a reading of it as a play.
Really?
A decade before we produced it. And ironically, it was right after we had, I guess it was after we sold to Sony Picture Classics. We sold Equity to Sony Picture Classics, and Equity was out there. And we bumped into the writer of Egg on a ferry going to Kismet. So it was Kismet. And she said, oh, I just wrote the screenplay of Egg. Would you like to read it? And we read it, and we had always loved the script so much. And we said, let's make this. And it was, you know, what I'll also say is, for me as a producer, and I'll let David talk on his own about being a producer, I produce for two main reasons. One is to create more jobs for women and to sort of change the business. So on that shoot, we had, all of our, the heads of every single department was a woman. Yeah. And most of our crew was women.
We were over 75%.
That was really important to me. And the other thing is to tell stories that other people might be afraid to tell, particularly women's stories. And this is about the choice to be a mother. And what does motherhood mean? And what does fatherhood mean? And really getting into the weeds about that. But it's also funny. So I think it's when you have something that's deep and funny, it's so delicious. And that's why I fell in love with it. Mr. Bache, anything to add?
What was the question? producing, listen, two actors in the same house is two creative people in the same house is one thing, right? And lots of advantages. I've often said, you know, if I have a bad audition and I come home and say to my wife, the casting person looked at her watch when I was 30 seconds in, there's no explanation needed. And Alicia says, oh God, that's terrible. I'm sorry you had to go through that, honey. Like, she gets it. If you come home and you know, you try to explain that to an investment banker or an actuary or something, there's two creative people immediately, there's some positives, mm-hmm. right? And sometimes there's some negatives. And sometimes it's that there's two really strong creative ideas and the project can't hold both of those ideas. So one person's going to have to let go of their idea this time. And then the next time someone's going to have to let go of their idea.
That's such a good point. And it's, you know, it's so interesting. Just today, I was helping David with a self-tape. Like every actor on the planet, we have a self-tape studio at home soon now. And David also built a gorgeous voiceover studio here. And I was helping him with this audition. And if it's his audition, it's my job to shut the fuck up, you know, and he asks me for direction or help. It's my job to be the reader and to take his direction. And if he says act less, it's my job not to take it personally and to just do what he says and help him. And, you know, on the flip side, there have been times where I have an idea about a character and I want to get it just so. And he's super patient as I, you know, get it just right.
Yep. That's the job of the reader, is to say however many times you want to do it, right? And to serve the piece and serve the audition. And, you know, I love when Alicia gets roles and works, and I want her to feel great about every audition. And this morning, you know, she didn't even get the sentence out. She's like, hey, do you want ... And I said, nope, thanks. Here we go. Because I knew what I wanted to do with it. And honestly, it was for a smaller guest star role. I didn't want to do too much. I didn't want to think too much. Just wanted to do it. Send it over. If I'm the guy for the job, they'll give it to me. If I'm not, they'll give it to somebody else.
And I probably wanted to say whatever I wanted to say because he's auditioning for one of my favorite shows of all time. And I want to be auditioning for it. Now, I don't. Well, that for another podcast, we'll tell you the story.
But there you go.
Got a job that I actually auditioned for.
But there you go. There are sometimes negatives, right? Two actors in the same house, two producers. And sometimes there's some negatives. There's some jealousy. Alicia has achieved in her career in the last 5-6 years a level of celebrity that I have never had. And I sometimes get jealous of that. And I try to tell her, like, oh, I'm feeling a little jealous of this, right? Where I want some more attention because it's all about the press or it's all about whatever. So, you know, we've both had ups and we've both had downs and we carry each other through those things and we're patient with each other.
And the first decade of our career, it felt like to me, though, if I really look at it, it's not the truth. So it's really important to, like, always analyze your own story. But it felt like the first decade of our career, I couldn't get a job or an agent or a manager to save my life. And he was working all the time.
Right, right. Because The X's was early. Yeah, it was about a decade ago. And then Orange is the New Black was recent.
Well, for me, Orange actually was not that. Orange started in 2012 and went to 2019. But then
that long.
The Deuce, and I did, you have an old bio, my friend. I did The Deuce, and then I also did Better Things for the last 5 years. And then I just did the first season of Shining Vale with Courtney Cox and Greg Kinnear, which will be in Stars in March. Better Things, the final season, comes out February 28th. And then there's been a lot of movies in there, including the two that we produced. So has been busy.
Right. So now then, are the two of you, I think it's actually very cool that you're, you know, David, you were just saying like that you have told her you were jealous. I think a lot of jealousy grows and gets or goes to a negative place, especially when it comes to coming between couples, if they're after the same thing, when they're not talked about, when they're not communicated, when they're not dealt with. So, I mean, you literally just said like, yeah, I was jealous of you. I'm jealous of your celebrity status now. Is that something that is a constant thing? Or have you just been like, it's kind of there, kind of creeps in. And then like, you know, we're still us.
You know, that depends on the day, right? I mean, we all wake up in the morning and we make up our minds how happy we're going to be. Right? Because we either start talking to ourselves in a nice way and we're full of gratitude, like, wow, I woke up. Awesome. I get to have a day. Like, it beats the alternative, right? And then, you know, maybe we have a few things to do that we like to do. And we have people around us that we like to spend time with, and we have a happy day. Sometimes we wake up and we didn't sleep well, or something hurts. We feel unhealthy, or we're not at ease, right? There's dis-ease. And it's harder to have a good day, and we're in our head. We often say, you know, like I say, and Alicia says sometimes, and other people, you know, my imagination is a dangerous neighborhood to be in at night, right? Like that's, don't walk alone in there. You don't want to walk alone in there at night. Sometimes we have those, those, you know, before we go to bed, I'm staring at the ceiling and it's a little dangerous. I'm starting to beat up on myself.
For me, for me, it's like, can I interrupt a second?
Go.
For me, it's like, it's actually between like 2:30 and 5:30 a.m. If I wake up, my brain starts lying to me. It just starts lying. I've learned that it's lies, but it'll start to make up problems. Mm-hmm. And that's just what my brain does. That's what this artist's brain does, because I've done a pretty good job of really watching my brain. And that's what, you know, we meditate, we do all these things to learn to watch our thoughts and choose our thoughts and question our thoughts. But in that 2:30 to 5:30 range, I don't have the mental power to like question my thoughts. So I just believe them.
And you were, you know, to your question, you're saying like, is jealousy a constant thing? I mean, I imagine with some relationships and couples and friendships, and it is, and that's when you really run into trouble, I think. And if, especially if it's not voiced, and then there's certain expectations, and expectations are really just premeditated resentments, right? So then you get into trouble, and then there's contempt. And when there's contempt, I think you're in big trouble. I, you know, it really does depend on the day. I mean, today I could tell you, you know, I'm incredibly proud of Alicia. She's got a project she's going off to do in Atlanta for a few weeks, and I will miss her. But it means I get to eat a little more junk food with our daughter, and that's kind of fun. And I'm so excited about like, well, where is she going to live in Atlanta? And she gets to fly there, and she gets to do these super cool things in this part. And that jealous is not like, I wish it were me. That jealous is like, oh my God, that's like, it's not jealous. It's like, I get to live vicariously. Like, this is so cool. You get to do stunts, and you know.
Same with him today, auditioning for my favorite show.
Right. And, you know, so it depends on where are you at the moment? What's your mindset, you know, and we all get to choose what that mindset is. So we can't always choose that positive thing. Sometimes we have a bad day, or we don't feel well. And then sometimes we take it out on other people. Right.
And to quote another favorite podcast of mine, which is Brené Brown's Dare to Lead. She's been talking recently about her new book, which is Atlas of the Heart, which is all about language. And she actually taught me this week that envy is between two people and jealousy is between three, which is fascinating to me. I never knew that. Book is all about actually
makes sense if you think about it.
Language and the power of language. And one of the, you know, I am not Brené, so I hope I'm not butchering her ideas here, but one of the main theses of the book is the importance of saying the truth in a relationship and saying that thing that you're feeling anyway. So you gotta share it. And once you share it, it's not as big as it feels in your head if you don't share it. And that's, I think, one of the joys of my relationship. When David is willing to say to me, or I'm willing to say to him, I'm
this is how
envious, or I am afraid, or I'm overwhelmed, whatever it is of that moment, it keeps us closer.
There are so many things in life that stress me out. You know what shouldn't stress me out? Eating. So we can all eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options for all dietary needs. And you can discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and even some drinks to help you stay fueled up. Factor is also celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month's Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Say that 5 times fast. Earth Month Eats. Earth Month Eats. Just remember, these no fuss, no mess meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So just simply heat and eat the good stuff. Head to factormeals.com/TTP50 and use code TTP50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code TTP50 at factormeals.com/TTP50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's interesting to me to think about like couples who are both in the business and whose job it is sometimes to literally. I mean, I'm not taking the best bit. I'm not taking this back to sex just for the sake of sex, because I could do that all the time. But like, it's your job to have sometimes literal sex scenes and have a physical close encounters with other people. And sometimes within the same productions, you're watching your partner be intimate with somebody else. And right. So this is where I'm going with this, right? And I'm using an example of like the first time I was like, was when I watched Pretty Woman on Broadway with Andy Carl making out with Samantha Barks while Orfeh's standing next to them on stage, right? And I'm like, oh, that's got to be weird. So, but they're again one of these people that I, or these couples that I feel like just have this intense connection and authenticity and realism that I can see coming through in people like yourselves as well, where it's just like, listen, this is how I'm feeling, let's deal with this. So you said you've done that, talk me through that.
Here's my philosophy. I'm so curious what David's gonna say. Here's my philosophy about sex on stage. We as actors, be it stage or screen, we as actors are the luckiest humans on the planet that we get to do this thing where we get to pretend and fake it. And it's not breaking up a marriage.
Fully sanctioned.
It's our job, right? So we're so lucky. And I get really kind of annoyed with the people who then fall in love with the person that they're making out with and break up their marriage, because then it messes it up for the rest of us, right? It's like, anyway. So I think if you're married to an actor, you just have to know that. Mm. And you have to, it's a trust issue. It's like, okay, I trust that you don't have feelings for this person. And, you know, P.S., sex scenes in most of the sex scenes I've had in film or television or theater are not that sexy.
Like, it's utterly ridiculous.
It is so technical. I've not felt very sexy doing them. And, you know, because David's experienced it too, he knows that too. Yeah. So maybe that helps.
And, you know, what's interesting, you bring up an interesting point. So people, actors get into a project and they are meant to fall in love with someone on screen, have sex with someone else on screen, right? And I think a lot of people get tricked and they get fooled. because they feel that, and then they feel like, well, that's what I want. That's different than what I have at home. So I want that spark. I want that, right? But it's a lie. It's fake. It's acting. It's not real, right? And it's so interesting because if we can acknowledge that, like, well, but that's not real.
Right? It's also not real because, like, you don't have to pay taxes together. You don't have to schedule. Right. You don't have to pick up the kid together.
Right.
You don't have to wipe each other's poop. All the things.
Well, wait, that last one was.
Wait, huh? Yeah.
we got 45 right, or 50 right. more years before we get there.
But I'm forward thinking.
It's very interesting that as artists, you know, sometimes we our job is to be seduced by what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. Get caught up in the moment and what's happening. But that really speaks to what we were talking about before. I mean, if we're in a place where we get caught up and we don't adjust ourselves to what is and what's real, then we can feel very jealous. We can feel very lonely. We can feel left behind. We can feel that everybody else is working more than I am. That person has the job that I want that will probably make me happy, right? Because we're caught up. We're not really adjusting ourselves to what is. And when it's a different day and we're feeling more present, we're able to say, wow, you know, I have a great career. I've had an amazing body of work. I've gotten to play fascinating characters, make people in the audience laugh and cry and hate me and usually not love me, usually hate me. But, you know, what a gift that is. And I see that clearly. And I'm not caught up in what's not real, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's weird when that's your job, is to get caught up in what's not real. It's very, very interesting.
I think there's a point of separation where I guess you have to keep mind of that. And it's tricky. And it speaks to the talent that you have and other people of this caliber have, because when you are, you have to let go of acting, right? There's acting versus being, and you have to be in the moment. You have to be present. And when you're doing all these things and you're in these intimate moments, sometimes literally in some of the most compromising positions, to get a camera where it needs to go and whatnot, like there's a level of trust and I guess acceptance that you're having with your scene partners, your directors, your crew, and all of this. And by default, by being vulnerable like that, you have to let yourself connect with them. Yeah. But then there's a point where you have to separate it. Like, where do you stop and then pull back and say, you know what? I'm still Alicia at the end of the day. I'm still David at the end of the day. We have to go and pick up our kids together.
For me, and I'm curious David's answer about this. The first job I got after the SummerSec that we did together, like my first job out of school, was I did a one-woman show about Virginia Woolf at the Edinburgh Festival. And it was spectacular training for me, because at the end of each show, she commits suicide. And I had to learn to go deep within this human and then put her on the shelf at the end of the night. And I had to learn that and create tools for myself in a way that I've really never had to use those tools again. I did another play like 10 years later that similarly dealt with mental illness. And those are big tools, but it's fascinating to me having this conversation, because it's the same tool set. It's the same tool set that you use when you're having sex with someone on stage. It's different. You are not your character. It's a piece of you, and yes, it's real, and yes, you want to give all of you to it. And for me, I had to learn to then put that character on the shelf till 8 o'clock the next night, you know? And there are a bunch of tools that you learn as an artist to do that. It's easy to say that, but I had to create a tool set about how to do that.
David, what about you?
What was the question?
I guess so. The equivalent is: have you seen Jagged Little Pill?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So the character of Mary Jane, whoever's playing that character, goes through the recollection. Goes through opioid addiction and the recollection of sexual abuse and the dealing with the social pressures of everything going on in the story. And so when I talked with Elizabeth Stanley for one of my episodes a long time ago, and I was like, how do you do this 8 times a week? It's the same sort of toolbox, right? How do you do this 8 times a week and still be Elizabeth after every single show? How do you not take Mary Jane home with you at all? Like, that's gotta be tough.
Yeah. It's, you know, yeah, it's tough. You take a little bit of the character home with you sometimes. You do. You just do. But again, if you live with another actor, that person knows what to expect and empathizes, right? It's about empathy. So, I mean, I did a play, you know, 8 shows a week for almost 1.5 years. And that's the longest run I've ever done. And it was a 2-character play. So it was, and it was, really emotional. There was a huge sort of emotional breakdown for my character. And, you know, it was an incredible arc. It was so fun, but it was really challenging emotionally. And, you know, and I was with a partner that really inspired me to never phone it in. It was really hard. And when I came home and I was kind of a wreck sometimes, Alicia knew I needed more time to get back to me, you know? And I like to think, like, in a great performance, if you're really lucky, you've done a lot of work in preparation, and then you set foot on stage and your work in preparation and who you are as an actor rises up halfway and the character comes down halfway to meet you. And that's magic if that happens. When that happens, that's magic, right? And then when you get home, that character has to slowly go back up and go back away, right? And you have to come back down into yourself, get your feet on the ground. So there's a process, and sometimes it's gradual, but, you know, as artists with each other, we try to be very empathetic and kind with each other. Not to put a damper on the all the sex talk, but I have to go. I have to go. I have a much bigger podcast on the other line.
Oh, excuse me, and go enjoy your.
I always wanted to say that. Like, I've never, you know, it used to be like, you know, tell Spielberg I've got a much bigger producer on the other line. But these days, I think it's the podcast joke. So I
try. Or the Zoom joke.
Zoom joke. I have a much bigger Zoom to get to.
Well, it's wonderful to talk to you. Go to your other thing. And I know, Alicia, right, we got a few more minutes with you. So I'll wrap up quickly.
Terrible things about me.
We will. But thank you, David. So, Alicia, he was talking about process and podcasting. Of course, I think it's a great way to go back to Around the Sun. So Around the Sun is this wonderful collection of Manhattan-y, New York-y based, like real life sort of scenarios with a little bit of exaggeration. And I love the through line behind everything. And I guess you're building out, or did build out, the voiceover studio. Was the voiceover part of your career and your life, has that been around for a while and that got you into Around the Sun, or how did this all come about?
So, I mean, it all came about, honestly, one of our producers on Equity asked us to do it. She was producing this as well, and that's Suzanne Curry. So thanks, Suzanne Curry. And during the COVID of it all and this pandemic time, the ability to do work from home that feels safe is an extraordinary gift to be creative as an actor person. In this moment from home is an extraordinary gift. And and as a native New Yorker who grew up on the Upper West Side, I love this particular piece. I thought it was so fun and so well-written. I actually feel like our characters should be in season 2 of Only Murderers in the Building. Right?
Like, my son, did you know my son? We don't talk about my son. Yeah.
I found it hilarious, you know. So, and it was so fun to do. Yeah. Any chance to work with my husband is a good day.
Well, so where do you see sort of things going now? And not related to the physicality of social distancing and COVID and pandemic, but in terms of your career now has been so diversified in a very good way, because you've got the producing and acting across TV, film, and theater, and so many different things. And so what, and now voiceover, right? You're adding all this and you built a studio. That's some serious business. Yeah. So times, they are changing. And of course the pandemic is dictating a little bit of change in how we're doing self-tapes and interacting with the business. But the business in general, we've gone, like you said, you're going to Atlanta soon. So yeah. Filming is resumed. Things are picking back up to what we will call a normal production pace.
Right.
But where are things going for you in your mind? Like, if you were to manifest this and say, this is what I'm going to be doing in 5 years, what are you doing?
Oh, boy. In 5 years, I will be on a new series that is super fun and funny, but also deep and illuminating. And I have a slate of producing gigs now. Like, I have a film I'm developing with a Broadway producer, Diana DeMena. I have a bunch of TV projects. I'm trying to think if any of the writers I'm working with are... Actually, this is a great thing. I'm developing something right now with Emmy Lou Harris because we did the 24-hour play festival together.
Yes.
And I loved her play and we got along famously and we talked about something that has nothing to do with the play. And we were like, yeah, I've always wanted to develop. Yeah, I've always wanted to create something about that. And then here we are doing it. My dream is that the slate, you know, like, another phenomenal writer who I love is Ashley Nicole Black. And she just got like a deal at a studio. Like that would be really cool. It's like, I want a deal at a studio to produce and have a slate. I already have the slate. So I just need a little love from there. And then it would be my dream that on my hiatus, I would do something, a limited run on Broadway. Like, we're going full on dreamy, dream. And I'm, you know, I think the amazing thing about voiceover is you can sneak it in between everything. So I'd love to be, I mean, one of the shows I'm also developing is an adult cartoon. So I can be doing that at the same time.
So you sound very similar to me in that if you sit down, you just fall asleep. You got to keep
David
you
and
gotta
I
keep going.
Early 20s where he was like, babe, just take a nap. And I was like, I'm not a rester. I don't do that. Yeah.
Why is that, though? What, for me, speaking for myself, I keep going because I feel like I'm not doing things good enough. So I always want the next thing to validate. I'm always looking for that next little check mark to say, like, I did this.
This is a good, like, full circle way to end, which is one of the gifts for me of the pandemic is I learned to meditate and I learned to rest and I learned to appreciate that. And it then also made me look at why am I doing all this? And my truth is I do it because I love creating. I am a creator. I am an artist. And I love creating and I love illuminating worlds in ways that they haven't been illuminated. Like, I'm only interested in telling a story if I don't see it already on the planet. And I'm also deeply interested in the healing of the planet. And I think back to Brené Brown, we can't do that unless we tell the truth. So sometimes we have to tell uncomfortable truths, and that's what art can do. It sort of is the candy coating for uncomfortable truths so that we can heal. So that's why I do it.
I love it. And it allows art, especially theater, allows you to practice empathy because your brain can't go through those emotions without actually being in those situations. You can't pretend to be under crisis. So this is like the art, watching these stories is pulling out these emotions that people need to experience just become better people. And like you said, art heals. I completely agree with that. I wish David was still here because I always have my three questions that we ask people at the end of the episodes. But I'll just ask you since you're the only one.
Okay.
Here. The first one is very simply is what motivates you?
Love and healing.
And then what advice would you give to your younger self and younger people listening now starting out down a similar path?
There is no perfect. Fuck perfect. Go live your dream.
I like that. Fuck perfect. That's going on my butt cheek. Tattoo.
David has a tattoo right here that says there is no perfect.
On his wrist, yeah.
I have as is.
I love it. All right, so the last question then, hardest one. If you could only see one show for the rest of your life, but you can see it as many times as you want, what would you see?
Oh my God, that is so hard. I should have thought about this before. I didn't think about this. I kind of have to say... Waiting for Godot, like, right? Like,
all right,
go there, right? we may as well go there if it's going to happen every day. I mean, that's as meta as I can think to go. How to succeed in business without really trying. Or I don't know. I just can't.
All right. So where can we find you and David online on socials?
At Alicia Reiner, A-L-Y-S-A-A-R-E-I-N-E-R.
And that's where you find David too?
Yes, exactly. He's cool. At David Allen Beach. Find me, you'll find him because he's probably in my bio.
And of course, check out all of the wonderful podcast work that they are doing. Listen to Around the Sun. They are specifically in episode 105, but you can get that at bpn.fm/aroundthesun. Alicia, thank you so much. This has been such a fun conversation.
Such a joy. Thank you so much and take good care. And I'm going to jump really quickly because I have to head downtown.
Thank you so much. Please give my thanks to David whenever you see him again, which I assume is going to be very, very soon. You can find more of me online at thetheaterpodcast.com. Support the podcast at thetheaterpodcast.com/Patreon. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at theater_podcast. Please leave a rating and a review wherever you're listening to the podcast now. Thank you to Jukebox the Ghost for the intro and outro music. And Alicia and David, thank you so much. This has been so much fun.
Take a deep breath, make the world a little colorful.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.